our London office is Charmian Gooch, the co-founder of anti-corruption organisation Global Witness.
Global Witness got to this campaign because over our years of work and investigations, what we realised is that, you know, corruption isn't about something that's happening somewhere over there, it's happening right here. And that it's not about a few rotten apples, it's not about some dodgy politicians and businessmen in faraway countries. It's about a globalised financial electronic system, effectively. And that has become increasingly the case as the world of business has moved online, whether that's bank transfers or the ability to set up 500, you know, a set of shell companies, hundreds of shell companies all over the planet to hide real identity. And so what we basically decided we needed to focus on was actually that underlying system, the underlying structures that make this kind of globalised corruption possible. And that's why we launched the anonymous company work and campaign. And again, working with lots of other organisations who all recognise that this is impacting in all sorts of different ways.
Why is it only now that we have a campaign like this? Why has it taken so long? Because it seems like a no-brainer.
Well, I think it's about raising consciousness. I mean, I find it very interesting, for example, when talking to people in business, there's a couple of responses, one of which, and I talk to a lot of people in business because I really want to understand how people think and what the challenges are that they face. And they face very real challenges operating in a lot of different countries. One is that, well, we've got corruption, it's always with us, what can we do about it? And my response to that is, well, does that mean you do nothing? And then the other one is that there is this sort of tendency to think that it's all about corrupt politicians and business people, as I said earlier, somewhere over there. But what isn't recognised in terms of this system of corruption and facilitation is that, in fact, America and Britain are two of the best countries for secrecy. The World Bank study, the Puppet Masters one, which you may well know from a couple of years ago, which looked at over 213 cases of grand corruption going back over 30 years, it found that over 70% had involved the use of anonymous companies. And the majority of those, for corrupt politicians, the country of choice was America. And in fact, you know, America incorporates more companies than the 41 tax havens jurisdictions combined. So America is key on this, which is why we were so delighted to be awarded the TED Prize last year, which has really helped us move the work from beyond UK and Europe out to America.
For our third live webcast of the year is Jose Ugaz, the chair of Transparency International and one of the world's most formidable anti-corruption lawyers. I mean, according to the OECD, almost all financial crime involves anonymous shell companies. And there was a study by the World Bank not so long ago that looked at more than 200 cases of grand corruption over the past 20 years and found that 70% involved these shell companies. So it seems that, I mean, is this really at the heart of the problem when we're looking at grand corruption, when we're looking at FIFA? Is it better to go really after the facilitators who allow for the shell companies to be set up? Or is that more effective than going for the actual people who are accepting the bribes? Is that where the heart of the problem really is?
Well, intermediaries are always an interesting part of a chain to look and follow the money through these people. Sometimes it's much more easier than going through the people that accepted the money. Now, in this modern world, with a lot of technology and global issues and speedy communications, it's not easy to trace money. People, when they use strawmen and offshore companies, they can really generate very complex fraud schemes that are very difficult to trace. So all the possibilities, all the means that are available should be used. But it's a responsibility of the states and of the ruling authorities to set the rules in order to make it possible. Banking secrecy, offshore companies, political asylum, immunity for high-level authorities, all of these institutions were created many years ago for other purposes. To protect privacy, yes, but to protect privacy in a specific content, not to build a shield for impunity and not make it possible to trace illicit funds. Political asylum, yes, but not to establish safe havens for the crooks that are looting their states and then run to another state. immunity for a congressman? Yes, in order to avoid political persecution, but not to permit bad congressmen to do whatever they want without any consequences. So we should rethink all these institutions and order them in relation to what we expect now in combating corruption and impeding impunity to be the general rule in our world.
So where tax havens and secrecy jurisdictions are concerned, should we see an end to those, or do you just want greater transparency, greater oversight and accountability? I mean, the BVI, the Cayman Islands, I mean, these seem to, whenever there is a corruption scandal, these names keep cropping up all the time. So would it be best just to end them altogether?
Well, I think that would be impossible. I mean,
that be the ideal?
They are there because there were historically some commercial reasons to put these vehicles in the market. And I think if they are run with transparency and according to legal standards, there shouldn't be a problem. But if what we are going to happen is means to avoid control, to avoid paying taxes, to bring opacity, and to avoid knowing who are the ultimate beneficiaries, then we better not have them. And I think that all the effort we are doing from the civil society now is to bring light into the safe havens, into the offshore companies, into bringing rationale to banking secrecy and other aspects of the right to privacy. Right to privacy, of course. And we should guarantee that fundamental rights are there and are protected. But we cannot be so naive, but with a so-called protection of fundamental rights, open all these avenues for the corrupt in order to obtain their private gain, affecting millions of people. Because at the end, when we talk about public corruption, corruption kills. Corruption denies education, health, housing, better conditions of life for millions of people around the world, especially in the poor countries. I've been repeating that corruption is a tax that is paid by the poorest. So it is not only a matter of private, the right of privacy or my right to private financing movements, but it's also here an element of public interest.